All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Let's get started. I want to share with you. Can you hear me? I want to share with you just two pieces. The first piece that I want to share with you is from page 15 from your source book, which is just a little bit about Yonasan ben Uziel. You know, Amuka is the burial place of the great Tana Yonasan ben Uziel. So if you take a look at number two, there's an amazing piece over here from the Avos de Rabbi Nosan. So Yonasan ben Uziel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Kibel Mehilal v'Shamay. Pei Zugim Talmidim Hayulo v'Hilal Hazokim. Hillel had 80 pairs of Talmidim. 80 says, now again, whenever you see numbers like this, about 80 pairs of, so Hillel had many more Talmidim. It means he had really 80 pairs of primary disciples. So Mehen Ru'uyin Shetishraven Shchina Kimoshven Alav Shalom. So 30 of them were fit to receive prophecy like Moshe Rabbeinu. V'lamin Mehen Ru'uyin Shetamulam Chamaki Yoshua. 30 of them were fit that the sun should stand still for them like Yoshua. V'chaf Beinonim. 20 of them were average. Now you understand, to be average in such a halig chevra like this is pretty good. Right? That type of average is okay. Agodol Shebekulon, Yonasan ben Uziel. Amazingly enough, the greatest of Hillel's Tamidim was none other than Yonasan ben Uziel. Hakatan Shebekulam, literally again, the smallest amongst them, the least great amongst them, was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So just so you understand a little bit of this contrast, these poles, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was one of the greatest men of his generation. I would venture to say that we are here today because of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the one who, when Yerushalayim was under siege, right, during the Second Temple era, was the one who faked his own death, was smuggled out, stood before the man who would become the Roman Emperor Vespasian, and asks for three things. Among them, Tein li Yavne v'chachameha, give me the great, remember the Sanhedrin, the High Court, had relocated to Yavne. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is single-handedly responsible for preserving the Mesorah. We are here today because of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's courage. And yet, out of this chevra, out of this group of Talmidim of Hillel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was considered to be the smallest of the Talmidim. Who was the greatest? Who was the greatest? The greatest was Rabbi Yonasan ben Uziel, whose chevra we are here at today. So you can imagine again, if the smallest was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and Rabbi Yonasan ben Uziel is the greatest, who could even begin to imagine the greatness of Rabbi Yonasan ben Uziel? So amazingly enough, again, the Avos Rabbi Nosson goes on, is really focused over on Yonasan ben Uziel, but the Gemara discusses, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, but the Gemara discusses that the greatness of Yonasan ben Uziel, that when he would learn or when he would daven, so a fire would descend from him heavenward. So that literally the Gemara says that if a bird flew overhead when Yonasan ben Uziel was davening or when Yonasan ben Uziel was learning, it would be incinerated by the fire that passed overhead. So we're here, by the Kev Rav Yonasan ben Uziel, we're here in Amuka. So you know, of course, when we think about Amuka, so what do we think about? Shiduchim. So what does Yonasan ben Uziel, so first of all, even aside from Shiduchim, the fact that we're coming to daven at the Kever of the greatest disciple of Hillel is in and of itself an incredible zechus. Why Shiduchim? So there's a mesorah that Yonasan ben Uziel never married. He never married. Now, Yonasan ben Uziel never married. Tradition has it because he falls into that category of other sages like Ben Azai, who lived life with the mantra of Nafshi Chashka B'Torah. There are some people who were all consumed by Torah that they felt that they could not devote themselves to anything else in life. So Ben Azai doesn't marry either. Ben Azai, another great sage, so fully enveloped in the pursuit of Torah that he just never marries. But the Mesorah is that Yonasan ben Uziel regretted this decision later on. And that Yonasan ben Uziel dies brokenhearted, that he never found his bashert, that he never established a family, that he never was able to find the other piece. Because, you know, as the Pasuk in Bereishis says, Al ken yazov ish es aviv es imo, a man will leave his mother and his father, v'davak v'ishto, he will cling to his wife, v'hayu l'basar echad, they become one entity. So Rashi says they become one entity, i.e. they have vlad, through a child. Because a child is the ultimate synergistic partnership between mother and father. But the Ari HaKadosh, and again, here's where our worlds all come together. The Ari HaKadosh brings down, V'hayu l'basar echad is the concept of bashert. What is the concept of Bashert? You know, the Zohar brings down that there are 600,000 Jewish souls. So what's the problem with that statement? Baruch Hashem, there are many more Jews than 600,000. So what's the pshat? So the Ari HaKadosh explains that there are 600,000, if you could imagine, like trunk souls. Trunk souls. But each of those souls has multiple branches. So what does it mean when you find your Bashert? What does it mean when you find your Bashert? It means you find someone who came from the same trunk as you did. You find someone who comes from the same trunk soul. Your two branches from the same trunk, ultimately again, who have been reunited. That's the concept of Bashert. That's what it means. Al ken yazov ish es aviv es imo v'davak b'ishto. You know, it doesn't say that to live with his wife. It doesn't say that a man will have children. It says v'davak. There's only one other time the Torah uses that word v'davak to cling. Where is it? Where is it? Excellent. The Torah says by the Ribono Sha'olam, V'davak Dabo. When the Torah describes the level of connection and intimacy we're supposed to have with God, the Torah says you're not just supposed to serve God, you're not supposed to worship God, you're not just supposed to do His mitzvahs. V'davak Dabo, you're supposed to cling to Him. It's a sense of emotional and spiritual intimacy. And that's the same exact word that the Torah uses by marriage as well. Al ken yazov ish es aviv es imo v'davak v'ishto. It's not just a physical connection. It's not just even an emotional connection. It's a spiritual connection. And so the tradition has it that Yonasan ben Uziel doesn't die of a broken heart, but dies with a broken heart, recognizing that as much as he was able to accomplish in Torah, there was a part of him that was left unfulfilled. There was a part of him that was left incomplete because he never experienced that dvekus, that connection that only marriage could bring. And therefore, again, the tradition has become to come to Davin at the kever of Yonasan ben Uziel for Shiduchim. The great sage who lied with a broken heart because he was never able to find his shidduch becomes the Melitz Yosha, becomes the advocate to help us and to help our loved ones and to help all those in Klal Yisrael to find theirs. Two more quick things. The notion about praying, a couple of you asked me this yesterday, davening at Kvarim. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, has a beautiful tshuva where he discusses this idea. But what does it mean to daven at a kever? You know, just to give you context, when we say slichos, there's a very beautiful paragraph called Machnisei Rachamim. So it was around before Mordechai ben David, right? Mordechai ben David has a beautiful song, Machnisei Rachamim. But you know, the briskers don't say that paragraph. They don't say the paragraph, Machnisei Rachamim, Hachnisu Tefiloseinu. Right? Machnisei Rachamim means those who go ahead and bring in supplications, bring in our supplications before God. So what it literally is saying is, we're talking to the angels. Angels, bring our prayers before God. So the briskers don't say it. Why? Because they say, I don't need to ask anyone to bring my prayers before God. I don't need angelic intervention. I don't need anyone. The beauty of our religion is that each of us has a direct connection. So they purposely omit that paragraph. So Rav Moshe says many people misunderstand the concept of coming to a grave. When we come to Amuka, we come to anywhere else, we're not davening to Yonasan ben Uziel. We're not davening to him. We're not asking him for anything. We're saying, Ribono Sh'olam, we're here to daven for you. But here's the amazing part. You know, there are so many privileges. They say membership has its privileges. Membership in Klal Yisrael has its privileges as well. It's the greatest achus in the world to be Jewish. But one of the most incredible things, and here we could even become a little bit Israeli, is that you could live in overdraft. What does that mean to live in overdraft? You know, sometimes I need something in life. But you know what? I don't have the requisite merits. I don't have the zechuyos. I don't have what it takes in order to be able to get God to grant my request. But here's the amazing part when you're part of a nation, is that you don't only draw on your own merits. You draw on the collective merits of Klal Yisrael. So that's why we say, whenever we daven, we always daven in the plural. Because I'm not just davening based on my own merits. So we come to a place like this, and we see the great Tana Yonasan ben Uziel. There are things that I need from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're going to split up Sefer Tehillim, and you're going to daven for a whole bunch of, because there are people who are looking for their Bashert, and they've been looking for a long time, and all they want is to build a Bais Lam and be Yisrael. There are people who need Refuah Shalema. There are people who need Parnasa. There are people who struggle in their relationships. There's no shortage to our struggles. But you know, maybe Ribono Shel Olam, I, Shmuel Silber, don't have the requisite merits to get what I want for myself and for others. But here's the amazing part. I don't just live based on my own merits. I have the ability to tap into the merits of others. So when we come to a kever, what we are saying, Ribono Shel Olam, if I don't have the requisite merits to get you to give me what I want, give it to me in the merit of Yonasan ben Uziel. Give it to me in the merit of the Arizal. Give it to me if you go to Uman, give it to me in the merit of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. If I don't have the merits to get what I want, then Ribono Shel Olam, I'm asking you in the zuchus of the person who is buried here, give me what I'm asking for. And the more selfless the request, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves it. And the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at it. And I'll just end off with one last piece, and then we'll go inside, because I know everyone's cold. But the truth is, this is my first time in Amuka. I've never been to Amuka before. I missed that day in seminary. So for me, it's very, very special. There aren't too many things that I can say. It's the first time in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem. But I just want to share with you something amazing. If you take a look at page 32 in your booklet for just a moment, I want to share with you a very important maisa. And I feel I could share it because even though it's not related to the Tana of Yonasan ben Uziel, it's from the Sefer Pu'ulas HaTzadik. Pu'ulas HaTzadik is the stories of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. So Rabbi Nachman actually happens to have a grandfather by the name of Nachman as well. His name was Nachman Haridenker. He was one of the primary disciples of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. And I'll tell you the story outside because it's incredible. The story is told that Rabbi Nachman Haridenker marries Fega. Fega was the daughter of the Baal, excuse me, he marries Adol. Adol was the daughter of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. And what happens? Right after the Chasana, Nachman Haridenker goes missing. No one knows where he is. So what happens? So finally, Adol, she waits. I don't know how long she waited. But she waits however long. She goes to her father. She says, Father, can you help me find my husband? Use your Ruach HaKodesh. Use your insight. Help me find my husband. I don't know where he went. So the Baal Shem Tov closes his eyes for a few moments and he says, don't worry. He's going to be back soon. So he comes back. And his wife asks him, I'm sure in a very nice, pleasant way, excuse me, my dear, where have you been for the last 3 weeks? And he says, to be honest, I have to tell you, I saw Baruch HaKodesh, I saw a prophecy that if we have a child together, you're going to die in childbirth. And so I decided that, you know what, it's better for me to go away. I was going to send you a get, I'll send you a document of divorce. You're young. You should go ahead and you should have a life without me. And she said, I wish you would have spoken to me. Because it's such a zechus, it's such a merit to be married to you. And it's such a merit to be able to build a family and a home together with you that you know what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of it. You know, prophecy, Ruach HaKodesh Nevuah, is not always correct. Sometimes things could change. We'll take our chances. So fast forward a few months. So Adol's giving birth. And Baruch Hashem, she gives birth to a beautiful, healthy baby boy. And she lives. And her husband goes over to her and she said, what happened? She said, you know, when I was in the pangs of labor, I davened. I davened that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should allow me to go through the childbirth okay. And she said, Ribono Shel Olam, give me at least 30 days. Give me 30 days that I could spend with my newborn son. Just give me that time. And Rav Nachman Haridenker begins to cry. He says, my beloved wife, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you those 30 days. But you could have asked for 30 years. You could have asked for so much more. You don't even understand the power of your own tefillos. Had you only asked for more, you would have been given more. And says Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, reflecting back on his family, sometimes we don't get what we want because we don't ask hard enough. Sometimes because we don't really believe in the power of our bakashas. We don't really believe that we have the power just through our tefillos to move heaven and earth. So we come to a place like this, a place of, on one hand, incredible joy for an incredibly accomplished life, but a place of a broken heart as well. But this is the place where we could daven. And don't, what's the right word? Don't underestimate. Thank you. You know, there's a concept. of tafasta milu balo tafasta. Sometimes if you try to grab too much, you grab nothing at all. I remember when I was a kid, they used to have this game show where if you won, you know, they would give you like 20 minutes inside the toy store. And you know, like, you grab whatever you can. You grab whatever you can. You come to a place like Amuka, and the truth is, you've won this spiritual lottery. If you've come here, you've won this spiritual lottery. Don't go ahead. Don't worry about asking for too much. Ask for the sky. Ask for everything. Don't just daven for the people on your list. Daven for every single member of Klal Yisrael who needs the Yeshua in some point. And we can't repeat the mistake of Adol. We can't repeat the mistake of the wife of Rabbi Nachman Haridenker, who asked for too little. The Ribon Shalom never says, oh, that's too much, that's ridiculous. The Ribon Shalom could do anything and everything. And sometimes all he's asking of us is just to ask a little bit more. It's just to be a bit more ambitious in our requests. We should maximize this incredible opportunity. We should daven for ourselves. Because don't forget about yourself either. Don't be so selfless. Daven for yourself. We all need our own personal Yeshuas as well. Daven for yourself. Daven for your children. Daven for your parents. Daven for your friends. Daven for your people. Halavai, we should be zocha in the zuchus of coming to this sacred place. In the zuchus of the heartbreak of Yonasan ben Uziel. In the zuchus of the greatness of Yonasan ben Uziel. We should be zochem yartz Hashem that our tefillah should be niskabel. We should be zochem yartz Hashem that all of the people who you are davening for shiduchim should find their ezer kenegdom. Should be zochem tem yartz Hashem experience that tevekus. Those who need a refuah should have it. Those who need hatzloch in life should have it. And halavai HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the zechus of these tefillahs and in the zechus of our pilgrimage to this special place should give us the ultimate bracha, the bracha of Mashiach, the bracha of Geula, Mihira B'Yameinu. Amen.